This program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com.
And this KABU program has also been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from, in other words, Women's Books and Resources, serving you from its new location at 8 Northeast Killingsworth at Williams. In other words, is your local nonprofit feminist bookstore and resource center offering community space, gifts, tools for the revolution, women's writings, and much more. 503-232-6003 or inotherwords.org. Stay tuned now for Democracy Now!
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Certainly, we're surprised. I think probably more appropriately to say we're shocked. Certainly, this was not the outcome we expected. I firmly believe I'm innocent of the charges against me. As I have said from day one, I still firmly believe that as of this day.
Enron founder Ken Lay responding to the stunning verdict yesterday. He was found guilty on all counts of fraud and conspiracy. We'll speak with Texas journalist Robert Bryce, author of Pipe Dreams, Greed, Ego, and the Death of Enron, and BBC investigative reporter Greg Palast.
Well, now we're going to talk about a man with convictions, Amy, Ken Lay.
Also, the former CEO of Enron, Jeffrey Skilling, found guilty of 19 of 28 counts. We'll play a clip from the documentary Smartest Guys in the Room about Enron. In it, Kenneth Lay meets with employees and reads aloud their questions sent up to him.
All right, we're down to questions, and I've got a few up here. I would like to know if you are on crack. If so, that would explain a lot. If not, you may want to start because it's going to be a long time before we trust you again.
All that and more coming up.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
DemocracyNow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The top two executives in the Enron corporate scandal have been found guilty. On Thursday, Enron founder Ken Lay was convicted in two separate trials on 10 counts of conspiracy, securities fraud, wire fraud, bank fraud, and making false statements to banks. Enron's former CEO, Jeffrey Skilling, was also convicted. A jury found him guilty on 19 of 28 counts. The conspiracy and fraud convictions each carry a sentence of up to 10 years in prison. 4 years ago, Enron filed for bankruptcy after years of defrauding its own employees and investors. The bankruptcy put over 4,000 people out of work. The value of the company's stock dropped from $90 to about 30 cents. Thousands of Enron employees lost their life savings. We'll have more on Enron coverage after headlines. The estimated toll of innocent civilians killed by U.S. Marines in the Iraqi town of Haditha is now higher than previously thought. Democratic Congressmember John Murtha told the Marine Corps Times that the number of dead Iraqis is actually 24, up from the previous figure of 15. Murtha says he would not be surprised if a dozen Marines face court-martials for the killings. Retired Brigadier General David Brahms, a former top lawyer for the Marine Corps, said, quote, "When these investigations come out, there's going to be a firestorm. It'll be worse than Abu Ghraib. Nobody was killed at Abu Ghraib." President Bush hosted British Prime Minister Tony Blair in Washington Thursday for talks on Iraq. At a joint press conference, the president was asked whether he could identify any mistakes or missteps in his Iraq policy.
Bring it on. Kind of tough talk, you know, that sent the wrong signal to people. That I learned some lessons about expressing myself maybe in a little more sophisticated manner. You know, wanted dead or alive, that kind of talk. I think in certain parts of the world it was misinterpreted. And so I learned from that. And, you know, I think the biggest mistake that's happened so far, at least from our country's involvement in Iraq, is Abu Ghraib. We've been paying for that for a long period of time.
The president did not mention the U.S. bombing of hospitals and a medicine depot in Fallujah or the massacre of Iraqi civilians at Haditha. It was at least the third time he had been asked about mistakes at a news conference. The first time Bush was asked, the president famously said he couldn't remember any. Meanwhile, in Iraq, at least 9 people were killed and 9 people wounded in a car bombing in central Baghdad earlier today. In East Timor, clashes between the military and a group of dismissed soldiers have left at least 9 people dead and 27 injured. It was one of East Timor's worst days of fighting since becoming an independent state in 2002. The conflict erupted weeks ago when the East Timorese government fired more than 600 striking soldiers. Tens of thousands of civilians have since been displaced. Most of Thursday's dead were unarmed soldiers who'd been shot by rebels after a ceasefire had been negotiated. Despite the unrest, East Timorese and UN officials say they hope peace talks can begin as early as this weekend. This is Jean-Marie Guéhenno, the UN's Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations.
We believe that with a swift display of force in Dili, the violence can be stopped very quickly. And so we would hope that with the forces that are already being dispatched and the forces that will come in the next few days, that violence will be stopped. And then I think it will be up to the leaders of Timor to really reflect on the unfinished business of strengthening the institutions, both of the police and the military, and looking at a more solid political base, so that there is no factionalism, so that there is no divide within Timor-Leste that could, create another occasion for violence.
In Japan, a U.S. nuclear-powered aircraft carrier was met with vocal protests as it arrived in the port city of Sabetha Thursday. More than 150 people gathered on shore and on small fishing ships to protest the arrival of the 100,000-ton USS Abraham Lincoln. The fishing ships navigated around Japanese Coast Guard, attempting to prevent them from nearing the carrier. Anti-nuclear sentiment runs high in Sabetha. The city neighbors are Nagasaki, which was attacked by the U.S. atomic bomb in 1945. In Russia, campaigners for gay rights say they'll proceed with a gay pride rally despite a ban from the mayor of Moscow. The march is scheduled for Saturday. Police have refused to provide protection despite open threats from extremist groups to disrupt the event. This news on Burma. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has made a direct appeal for the release of jailed pro-democracy activist Aung San Suu Kyi. Annan spoke in Thailand earlier today.
Aung San Suu Kyi has spent 10 of the past 16 years in detention or under house arrest. The government will be reviewing her status within 24 hours. I take this opportunity to appeal to General Thanh Sui and the government to release her. I believe her release will facilitate national dialogue and allow the National League for Democracy to participate in that dialogue.
Aung San Suu Kyi has been under house arrest since 2003. She leads Burma's National League for Democracy. The group won a landslide election victory in 1990, but the military refused to hand over power. Back in the United States, the Senate overwhelmingly passed its version of the immigration bill Thursday, setting the stage for a showdown with a competing version in the House. Democratic Senator Edward Kennedy hailed the measure as a major compromise.
It is intended to keep out those who would harm us and welcome those who contribute to our country. It has the potential to build a stronger, better, fairer America for the 21st century. It protects our security through stricter enforcement and tamper-proof immigration cards and high-tech border controls. It protects American jobs and wages by bringing immigrants out of the shadows and requiring employers to pay fair American wages.
the immigration legislation would offer a number of the country's estimated 12 million undocumented immigrants a path to citizenship. But critics say the bill would make it easier for immigrants to be detained and denied fair hearings. The bill establishes possession of fraudulent documents as grounds for deportation, even if those documents were used to flee oppressive regimes. Timothy Sparapany, legislative counsel for the American Civil Liberties Union, said, quote, "We had counted on senators taking the time to eliminate the unwise and unsound provisions that strike due process, and the Senate failed to do its job." With this year's hurricane season opening next week, a climate researcher is warning New Orleans is the U.S. city most likely to be struck. The researcher, Chuck Watson of the risk assessment firm Kinetic Analysis, says New Orleans has a nearly 30% chance of being hit by a hurricane. New details have emerged over columnist Robert Novak's role in the CIA leak case. According to a new report by investigative journalist Murray Wass, Novak promised White House aide Karl Rove he would protect him from being harmed by the investigation into who leaked the name of CIA operative Valerie Plame. Novak is the columnist who first exposed Plame's identity in a newspaper column. The disclosure set off a scandal that's led to the indictment of former Vice Presidential Chief of Staff Louis Scooter Libby. The Federal Communications Commission has ordered a probe of dozens of television stations that have aired video news releases. That's corporate-sponsored propaganda disguised as news coverage. The investigation was prompted by the findings of a recent Center for Media and Democracy study that found 77 TV stations around the country aired VNRs in the past 10 months. The stations are scattered throughout 30 states and are affiliated with all the major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. And in Los Angeles, a standoff over the fate of a downtown community farm has intensified. Occupants of the South Central Farm are staging a 24-hour encampment in Tree Sit to resist eviction orders that would clear them from land they've tended for over a decade. The 14-acre South Central Farm hosts the largest urban farm in the United States. 350 families use the farm to grow a multitude of crops. It was leased to the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank following the 92 Rodney King riots. In 2003, the land was sold back to a real estate developer who now wants to turn it into commercial property. The encampment has attracted several celebrity supporters, including the singers Joan Baez and Ben Harper and actresses Laura Dern and Daryl Hannah. Hannah spoke at the encampment on Thursday.
I was so moved by it and so impressed that the biggest urban farm in the nation is right here in the middle of South Central LA. It's a place that I wouldn't have expected it in a million years, and it's such a beautiful surprise. And so I just want to do everything in my power to help support these farmers.
Daryl Hannah speaking at the South Central Farm on Thursday. Environmental activist Julia Butterfly Hill also spoke.
I'm here to carry the message that this issue is getting out there. And-